How many of you know that we are less than a week away from Christmas Day? Christmas is coming, whether we are ready or not. With that thought in mind, we're in this series titled Getting to Christmas. Because we know the day's coming, but what if we get to the day of Christmas and completely miss the good news, the joy, the peace that Jesus came to give us? It would be tragic for us to celebrate the event of Christmas and miss the Christ of Christmas. So in this series, we have been talking about some of the issues that could detour us from actually experiencing Christmas as a life-changing event. The first week, we talked about getting through the distractions of the season, the distractions of life. Last week, we talked about getting through bitterness, those painful moments that could sidetrack us from experiencing the good news of Christmas. And today, I want to invite you to join me in looking at an event recorded for us in Luke chapter 1. Mary is the central character in this story we're going to talk about today, and she's going to help us understand how to get through our control issues. Now, we love to participate together as a church family in the worship experience, and I love it when you are engaged in the message experience. So let me just ask you to participate in this question. How many of us would admit that there's at least one area of our life that we love to control? Go ahead and just raise your hand wherever you are. In fact, for some of us, we might need to raise two hands because there's more than one area of life that we love to control. Some of us might even be looking at the person next to us saying, you know what, you need to get your hand up as well. And if you are trying to raise the hand of the person next to you, then you might have control issues. And this message might be for you. I think most of us are aware that during times of stress, during times of uncertainty, during times of being rushed, that often our control issues and everybody else's control issues just come out of the closet with amazing intensity. And the Christmas season often brings out some of these control issues. Some of them are a little humorous. It might revolve around who's going to host the family Christmas gathering. I want to host the gathering this year. You did it last year. It's my turn. I want to host. Somebody else might say, I want to bring the fruitcake. I personally can't imagine anybody saying that, but for the sake of the story, somebody might say, I want to bring the fruitcake. And she just came right in with her disgusting fruitcake and put it right on the table. How dare she do that? She knew I was bringing it. Somebody else might say, they are the person that always gets to hand out the gifts. They always get to play Santa Claus. I want to hand out the gifts this year. We all could probably add to that list from our own personal experiences. Stress gives a lot of fuel to our control issues. And think about this year. Not only is there the holiday stress, but that is multiplied by the uncertainty that many of us feel about the things going on in our world. Many of us are feeling like there's a lot of things that are just a little bit out of control. And we need to wrestle with this issue of control if we are going to actually get to Christmas. Some of you might be saying, man, I'm so glad you're talking about this, Wes. I hope my spouse really listens. Or I need to make sure my mother-in-law hears this message about control issues. And if you're thinking that, then this message is probably for you. Some of you might be saying, I really am not a person who loves to control. I'm just aggressively helpful. Or I'm not controlling. I'm just thoroughly organized. And if you are thinking those things, then maybe this message is also for you. A lot of us struggle with control issues. In fact, I heard somebody recently describe someone they knew like this. They said, that person is wound up so tight, they actually make a cup of coffee nervous. Well, our issues of control feel intense to us, and they are significant. And yet, I think they seem pretty small compared to what a young woman named Mary has to deal with. If you look at what happens to Mary, you get a good feel of how we can deal with control issues as we get ready for Christmas, because Mary is going to be asked to play a significant role in the very first Christmas. Many of us know her story, but I want to ask you to join me again by looking at Luke chapter 1. And we're going to begin looking at verse 26, and we're going to read all the way through verse 38. So find that scripture and let's look at it together. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Verse 29 says that Mary was confused and disturbed, and she tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? How can this be? I am a virgin." And Gabriel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Other translations say, "For nothing is impossible with God." Verse 38 records Mary's response. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Luke, the writer of this biography of Jesus, is a doctor, and so he gives us amazing detail. But I want to make sure that you grab onto Mary's response to this life-altering news. Look at it with me. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." It's hard for us to even begin to imagine all of the thoughts and emotions that would have been racing through Mary's mind and through her heart. She was not only going to have a front row seat to the greatest event in human history, she was going to be personally involved. I mean, think about it. Mary is going to be a part of giving God eyebrows and elbows and two kidneys and a spleen. She would actually feel the pains of childbirth, giving birth to the Messiah, and then she would feel the relief and joy holding this precious child. Sometimes I think it's easy for us to deify Mary, but Luke wants us to clearly understand her humanity. He wants us to understand the feelings and emotions of her being a young woman. He wants us to see the challenge of her saying yes to God, even when she didn't understand God's plan. He wants us to understand the challenge she faced in letting go of control. We're told that Mary, she felt confused and disturbed initially. And verse 34 says that she actually asked this incredibly honest question, "How can this happen? How can this be?" There have been times when I've asked that question. Have you? God, how can this be a part of your plan? God, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense to me. Somehow, Mary is able to move from how and why. She's able to move from "I don't understand" to this response, "I am the Lord's servant, may everything you've said about me come true." Somehow Mary came to the realization that God's plan was much bigger than just her hopes and just her dreams. Those things were not unimportant, but they were not what was most important. Mary realized that things were happening that were beyond her ability to control, and she was going to have to actually give up the steering wheel and trust God's plan. And Mary shows us an incredible truth, and it's something that's so important for you and I to grab onto today. Mary shows us that you don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. In fact, I'd love for you to read that phrase out loud. You don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. Put yourself in Mary's shoes for a moment. She's a young woman preparing to be married. She would have had hopes and dreams like every other young woman. She had probably dreamed about getting married, and yet it looked very different in those days. Mary wouldn't have had the options of getting to know somebody in high school or at prom, and she wouldn't have had the opportunity to connect with Match.com or go to Christian Mingle or Tingle or Jingle or whatever it is. Mary would have been in an experience where her marriage was set up by her family. But she still had hopes and dreams. I wonder if Mary wouldn't have wanted some of the basic qualities that women would say they want in a man today. Maybe Mary would have said, you know, I want somebody who is strong and handsome and charming and drives a nice donkey. Doesn't have to be a newer model, but at least reliable. I want a man who has a good job with a bright future, someone with strong hands and a soft heart, someone who's close to his mom but not a mama's boy. Maybe she would have said, you know, I have a dream of having a guy who's bold yet humble, someone who's decisive yet flexible, well-groomed but not obsessive, somebody who's fit but doesn't post shirtless pictures on social media. She might have said, I have a dream about someone who has big goals yet easygoing, someone who makes me feel safe but is willing to take some risks. Somebody who likes chocolate-covered strawberries and walks on the beach and romantic movies. You think Mary thought any of those things? I don't know. Maybe as she thought about children, maybe she said, I want a man who's godly and we're going to get married and we're going to have two kids and the first one's going to be a boy and he's going to be named Joe Jr. and the girl might be Ruth or Esther. She had hopes. She had dreams. They probably didn't look anything like what I've described. But what she did experience is this. Whatever she was dreaming, whatever she was hoping for, an angel showed up and said, actually, Mary, God has something different for you. And some of us listening today and sharing in this today have experienced that. We've had hopes and we've had dreams and we've made plans, but it hasn't turned out the way we thought it would. Maybe some of you that are listening today, you dreamed of having two kids, and then God blessed you with a bonus kid. Some of you were on the opposite end of it. You dreamed of having three children, but you've been unable to conceive that first child, and you're confused and disturbed, and you're wondering, what is God's plan? Maybe you thought you had the perfect job, and then the company merged and downsized, and now you're not sure if you'll even have a job, and you're wondering how in the world you'll be able to pay your bills. Maybe your plans had to do with relationships, and you planned the perfect marriage, and yet as you live today, that marriage is not anything like you hoped and planned it would be. Maybe you thought you'd be married forever, and the marriage ended. Maybe this year, there will be an empty chair around the Christmas table and it's not what you planned. That person was there last year and they're not there this year and you never thought it would turn out that way. Maybe you're questioning God and you're confused and disturbed because of a health issue or financial strain. It could be any number of things. Because life hits us with all sorts of real issues and we find ourselves like Mary saying, how can this be? And we're confused and we're disturbed and we didn't think we would be in this spot. But Mary's able to somehow come to the point where she's able to surrender control to God. Now think about it. Mary had really no idea what was coming. She hears what the angel says. She knows that she's going to give birth and the baby will have been placed in her womb by the Holy Spirit. She understands that. But Mary doesn't know and understand that 3 decades later, she will watch her son, Jesus, the Messiah, be crucified. And she doesn't know that he will rise again. She doesn't know all the particulars of the situation, but she has a choice to make. She has a choice to make. And you and I, we don't always have the power to control what's going to happen. And we don't always have the power to see what's coming out there in the future. But we do always have the power to surrender. And Mary sets this amazing example for us because she makes a choice. She has to choose between her dreams and God's destiny. She has to make a decision between her plans and God's purpose. She has to choose between her control and God's calling. And what I love about Mary is she doesn't fully understand all of the plan, but she trusts her Heavenly Father. She trusts that God has a purpose. She trusts that God is doing something. You and I don't always have the power to control, but we always have the power to surrender, just like Mary. And Mary shows to us that saying yes is easy when you understand every detail. But usually, a yes that changes your story, it has some significant tension and uncertainty. Friends, this is where the question of faith and trust takes center stage. Our desire to control is often rooted in a lack of faith and a lack of trust. And I can just tell you, the more that I find myself trying to be in control, the more I overestimate my ability, and the more I underestimate the power and the goodness of God. When I'm willing to trust God's plan, I discover that His plan is always best. And when I follow it and follow Mary's example, I begin to discover that God's plan, while it's going to take me through some uncertainty and some tension, God's plan is always best. And I don't have to fully understand it. I can live with the tension and live with the uncertainty because I trust God is good. Mary shows us that significant moments in our life are going to be filled with uncertainty. But we can still say yes, and our yes can change everything. Mary's yes, Mary's surrender, shifted her focus from God, why me, to God, use me. An angel showing up to Mary was surprising. It's surprising to us, but it would have been absolutely shocking to Mary. And one of the reasons is because she was living in a society where she simply didn't fit the profile of a person God could use, particularly in the greatest event in human history. In that society, being young, being poor, probably uneducated, being a female, it made Mary a most unlikely candidate. She understood that. She had felt the sting of that kind of prejudice or stereotyping. And yet she found herself hearing an angel of God say, "Nothing is impossible with God. God is going to use you. You are highly favored." Mary discovered very, very quickly that God's plan would never be stopped by stereotypes or prejudice. She discovered very quickly that God calls and gifts and uses and blesses whomever He wants, men and women. She discovered that God's power can work through the poor and the wealthy, through the uneducated and the educated, through the young and the old and everybody in between. And Mary doesn't understand it all, but she says, "Yes, God, You can use me." She provides such an amazing example for us. Now, some of us might look at this and say, "Well, that was Mary. I mean, Mary had amazing courage and this amazing ability to surrender to God, but she doesn't understand my situation. Mine is so different. Saying yes, surrendering control is way different for me than it was for Mary." Well, certainly we live in very different times of history, but see if you can identify with any of this. Mary had to learn to trust regardless of her season of life. She was a teenager. She was young. She was filled with hopes and dreams that teenagers have, and she was also most likely filled with the uncertainty and insecurity that teenagers feel. She certainly would have felt unprepared and unqualified, but God never discriminates based on season of life. He uses us in every chapter of life Mary had to surrender in spite of her season of life, and God calls us to say yes to Him in spite of our season of life. Mary had to learn to trust and surrender even in the middle of her questions. You see, trust doesn't mean we don't have questions. Mary had questions. Joseph had questions. People in the first Christmas event, they had questions. God has blessed us with the ability to think. He's blessed us with the ability to ask questions. And He's never afraid of them. God is never afraid of your questions. He just asks us to trust Him in the middle of the questions. I love the honesty of the writer in Psalm 119, verse 73, when he said, God, You made me. You created me. He's saying, God, You understand how my mind works and my body works. You understand me thoroughly. You know my inadequacies and my inability to understand. And so he follows it up by saying, God, now give me the good sense to follow Your commands. Mary trusted in spite of her questions. We'll have to trust in spite of our questions. Mary had to trust and surrender to God, even if it wasn't convenient or comfortable. This information that was delivered to her by the angel Gabriel did not fit in her life plan in any way, shape, or form. Pregnancy before marriage? A child that wasn't just hers, but was God's son, the promised Messiah? That wasn't convenient. That wasn't comfortable. Mary had to say yes and give up control in the middle of that inconvenient message. And this message that the angel gave, this reality that Mary was going to live through, it didn't guarantee the applause of the crowd, and she had to trust God in the middle of a crowd of people who would have questioned her integrity, who would have questioned her ability to do the right thing. In fact, this plan of God's that a virgin would give birth to the Messiah who would save their people from the sins, it didn't fit with any norm of their society. At that time in Jewish culture, Mary could have been put to death for being pregnant and unmarried. I mean, can you imagine the gossip that would have gone through the village of Nazareth? All of the nosy busybodies that would have been spreading all sorts of thoughts about Mary and news about Mary and casting disgusting glances her way and disparaging her character. Following God and trusting God and surrendering to Him and giving up control didn't guarantee the applause of the crowd, and it doesn't guarantee the applause of the people around us. But God says, My plan is best. My plan is what's good. And so, even though you aren't in control, surrender to My plan. It was so important for Mary. It's so important for us because when we refuse to surrender control, we rob ourselves of the opportunity to be used and blessed by God. If you've lived life very long, you know there are moments that you look back on now. And you say, I didn't understand it then, but that decision changed the whole trajectory of my life. You may not have understood it then, but you look back now and say, what I did then or what I said then, the direction that I went then, it changed me, it changed my family, it might have changed the lives of other people. So when we sense God whispering in our ear, when we sense God prompting us, it's in that moment that we are being given the opportunity to be used by God, to be blessed by God. And we have no idea how our yes to God can change our life or change our family or change the life of somebody else. Mary's yes, it didn't mean that she was now confident in her ability. No, she was just confident in a God with whom nothing is impossible. Her yes didn't immediately change her into Wonder Woman. No, she was confident that she could simply say yes to God and leave the results in His hands. Mary simply was saying, God, I trust You. I trust Your purpose, I trust Your plan, and I'm willing to be used by Your power. God, my confidence is in You. Friends, for us today, saying yes to God being in charge, saying yes to God guiding us, saying yes to us living by God's truth and by God's principles, saying yes to following God's direction and prompting. It is one of the keys to experiencing the good news of Christmas. When we try to live being in control of everything and trying to dictate everybody else's stuff and our stuff and trying to control everything, any peace and any joy we will ever experience will be short-lived. When you and I fight for control, we eventually rob ourselves of the peace and the joy that Christ came to give us at Christmas. So could I ask you today, could I ask you just to be honest with yourself and be honest before God and to allow the Holy Spirit just to say to you, what are you trying to control that you need to surrender? What are the areas of your life that you have tried to keep a tight-fisted grip on that you need to surrender to God's plan? I guarantee you this. Nothing is impossible with God. And while we may not fully understand His plan, while we may not fully understand His purpose, while we may not know what's going to happen years down the road, we can trust that God is good and that His plans for us are always according to His purpose that ultimately is for our best. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for me that God would help us surrender control to God's plan. Jesus, we are so grateful that You came. Grateful that You were willing to sacrifice everything so that we could be forgiven. We're grateful for this amazing gift of You this Christmas season. We ask that You would help us to follow the example that Jesus, You've given to us in surrendering everything to follow the purpose and plan of the Father. And we pray that You would help us to follow the example of Mary, who was willing, even though she didn't understand, to just say, may God, Your plan come true in my life. Use me. God, You lead and You guide and direct. You do it through Your word. You do it through a message. You do it through a song that we might hear. You do it through conversations we have with others. You whisper through Your Holy Spirit into our ears sometimes, and You prompt us and guide us and lead us. And may we, even though we don't understand, may we listen to what You're saying. And may we be willing to take our hands off the steering wheel of our life and allow you to be in control. God, help us. Help us to remember that while we're not always in control, we can always surrender. And may that surrender lead to peace and joy this Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today, for sharing God's Word with us. Now, before we say goodbye, I want to give you two invitations. One is an invitation to be a part of our Christmas Eve candlelight experiences. There's going to be several opportunities for you to participate. On Christmas Eve, there will be a 4:30 Christmas candlelight experience at the St. John's campus. And so even if you don't normally attend that campus, if that time works best for you, you can drive to the St. John's campus and join us. I'll be there. Pastor Jessica will be there. And we'll share the Christmas candlelight experience at 4:30 at St. John's. And then we'll be sharing the service here at Owosso at 6:30 p.m. And so if that time works best for you, then make sure you join us here at the Owosso campus. And of course, we will be online as well, but we would love for you to join us in person, be in the room with other Christ followers and other people who are celebrating the amazing gift of Jesus and the transformation that it brings to our lives. We also want to give you a heads up that on Sunday, December 26th, we will be experiencing Grace Point at Home. We know that many of you will have family visiting or you will be visiting family. And so we want to ask you to just be a part of Grace Point at Home on December 26th. There will be no in-person gatherings at either campus that day. We just want to ask you to go online with your families and join us for a worship experience from the comfort of your own home. You can worship right there, and we're excited about the opportunity to bring that to you on December 26th. We hope you have an amazing day with God. If we can serve you, pray for you, answer questions, please make sure that you connect with us. You can do that in the chat on the social media feed. You can do it through email. You can go to our website and fill out the connection card. We'd love to be able to encourage you on your spiritual journey in any way that you would allow us. We'll look forward to seeing you next week.